This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by the Mike Haas, who is the voice of the New Orleans Saints. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, my friend. How are you?
So, Mike, I'm going to start this conversation off this way. A 2-7 team comes to a 3-7 team's house. Typically, you wouldn't get real excited about that, would you?
No, I don't. That's you know, from a marketing standpoint, you're going to have to really dig a little bit to you know, to get the outsiders. But you know, for us, I look at it. Whoa, a 2-game winning streak again since, you know, week two. Yeah, let's. And when you go already on the road and lose to a 1-loss team, I don't think you can look down at anybody.
Right. I knew you would find a silver lining somewhere up there on the horizon. But it has a number of interesting dynamics as the Cleveland Browns come here with Jameis Winston leading the way, Deshaun Watson injured and out. And so there's some familiarity there.
Yeah, there's a lot here for, like you say, a game. You know, for two teams that are struggling, and that won. So Cleveland is right. Got Jameis Winston. This, you know, the last couple of games, this will be his third start, I believe. He played some in the week before in week seven. So you have the Jameis aspect. You have Nick Chubb, who had such a severe knee injury in 2023. He didn't get back, and it was week two of 2023. He didn't get back to week seven of 2024. That's how severe it was. So he's had games 7, 8, 9. They were off last week. So you got Jameis, Nick Chubb coming back into form a little bit, and they were off last week. So they were open. So they're going to come in rested and well. So you have those three factors. And then the last one I throw in is you go, well, what did they do recently? Well, in week 8, you know, the same week we were in Los Angeles against the Chargers, Cleveland beat the Baltimore Ravens, and they were, you know, had only had one win prior to that. And Jameis was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Three touchdowns, no picks, 334 yards as they beat Baltimore. And you're like, whoa. So if you just look at those things alone, that's enough to get your attention. And again, Saints are 3-7. They're in no position to look down at anybody. But when you look at the Jameis Winston, if you dig deeper, it is classic Jameis. He's got skills, right? Week 8, he's the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Three touchdowns, no picks. Week 9, three interceptions, one touchdown as they lose at home to the L.A. Chargers. So it's the inconsistency. And the Week 9 loss to the Chargers, he was sacked six times.
Yeah.
So what the recipe is for him is well known. Can the Saints pull it off. If you look back at that Atlanta game, Atlanta, for the most part, I'm not saying did what they wanted, but offensively, they were in step. They had the rhythm, except for the end of the first half when the Saints were able to put pressure on Cousins, and the fourth quarter when they were able to put pressure on him, get the sack by Chase Young, fumble, and the pick by Tyron. Those two instances, late first half, end of the game, man, you can't wait that long, and it can't be that kind of, you know, sporadic, but that's what you got to do, because that's the difference. That's the difference with Kirk Cousins, and that will be the difference with Jameis Winston. Pressure, empty that, you know, clog that, those throwing lanes, and get him to the ground.
I love these two stats for the Saints, that is. Cleveland has allowed 43 sacks so far this year, and their third down efficiency is 28%.
So
that kind of complements exactly what you just were talking about.
Right. Well, they only score 16 points a game, so that's 29th in the NFL. Prior to the Chargers game, they'd only been in the red zone 14 times. Forget success. They'd only been in the red zone 14 times, and that was an NFL low. The Saints, for comparison, have been in the red zone 31 times. So they have struggled, but I would say when I was watching the Chargers game, so they've given up a bunch of sacks, but they also have 27 sacks. Does that defense? That's ninth in the NFL. Miles Garrett has 7 sacks alone. He had 3 sacks in the game with the Chargers. Again, they were off last week. So yeah, I agree. There's some things offensively that if you can work, because in that game, as I say, Cleveland and Jameis, he was sacked 6 times. Well, guess what? Justin Herbert, the quarterback in another team, he was also sacked 6 times. They had 12 sacks in that game. So it's, you're right. It's get to Jameis, protect Derek.
Right. Well, I guess I should say never mind.
No. You're 100% correct. I just say you're completely correct. They've struggled on third down. They've struggled in the red zone. It's like, but when you're 2-7, nobody cares. Nobody looks at your defense, right? Nobody looks at your stats defensively. They're -7 in the turnover differential, and that's some offensively. But from a defense, they've got 1 interception and 5 turnovers through 9 games. So they've not been very opportunistic. So you are 100% correct about their offense. That defense has some skill players over there. I mean, you're talking about Miles Garrett alone. That guy, he can dominate a game.
Mike, second week of the new coach, still somewhat, I guess, getting acclimated and bringing, you know, his style, his tenor to the table. You hearing anything that was a little different this week?
No, I think he certainly couldn't match the proclivity of change that he did in week one. He just ran out of stuff. You know, he'd have to start changing, you know, the front desk furniture. And so I think with that's good. There's still going to be some change. I think the changes that he kind of instituted last week, I think with the activation period prior to kind of getting the practice going and making it mandatory and making it with the strength and you know, the doctors, and everybody kind of gets going to, because there's 7 games left. It's not like you can just go, it was a bad year for soft tissue injury. No, you got to figure out a way to prevent it. So, and they use GPS. Coach Rizzi was talking about how they use GPS to measure practice speed. So when we go, hey, was it an up-tempo practice? They actually have data on that by GPS. And, yes, last week was more of an up-tempo practice. And I think with this week, it'll be even better because you were making changes. Dennis Allen was calling the plays. Now it's Joe Woods. You know, people were in different positions. And so I think, you know, another week of doing that makes the ability to play faster. And that was the key for Joe Woods last week. Like, I'm going to go in and make all these changes, and then they can't play fast, because if you're not playing fast on defense, I don't care what your alignment is. I don't care how good your skill players are. If you're not playing fast, you're getting beat. And so I feel like another week of just kind of doing that, you know, hearing Joe Woods and hearing, you know, Young and Marcus Robertson, you know, it's, you know, it was a lot of change, not so much on the offensive side, right? Most of the changes were really kind of defensive from really how the plays were going to come in, and also game management, you know, from who would Doug Frizzy was the game manager. He's now the head coach. So there were a lot of kind of little things, technical things that were probably, hey, let's see how this works on Sunday against Atlanta. Now they can, they probably make a few other tweaks, and but now they've done it, and they and probably, and the fact that they're home, right? You're home. You got an open week after this, and then you're home again. So I feel like that kind of familiarity is conducive, as long as you don't just disappear like they did in the second half offensively and in the fourth quarter. I mean, those numbers are shocking, you know, how much Atlanta dominated them in the fourth quarter, but you got saved by a sack fumble and an interception and Younghoe Koo. And we don't say that often.
Right. So Cleveland comes off a week off. I guess that highlights our injury list. Any folks we anticipate coming back?
It's getting smaller, yeah. I mean, I think we're going to see Eric McCoy, right? I think that's huge. So now you got McCoy back, Caesar, you know, Trevor at right tackle, who you know, and we're not talking about him, so, you know, all things good. Fuaga, fine on the left side. I don't think you're going to have Lucas Patrick again. He's got that ankle injury. Pete Werner, I don't think you'll have him with a hand injury, and I don't think you'll have Jamal Williams with his groin, but you're going to get Kool-Aid McKinstry back, pretty sure, and I feel like you're going to get Cedric Wilson back. Nephi Sewell, you know, has been on, they have to kind of pull him off, but man, I feel like, but what's happened in this interim, right? Cedric was out, so wow, we saw some pretty cool things out of Kevin Austin last week and Dante Pettis. And quite frankly, you get Kool-Aid McKinstry back, but man, I've seen some amazing things out of Ugo Amadi at DB. So, that, and coach and Shamar Jean-Charles, coaches talk about all the times. You know, you get when you get starters back, but you've had backups playing. Those backups are not really backups anymore. They are such more attuned to playing because it's been all them, right? Shamar Jean-Charles and Ugo Amadi, man. It was in your hands, Will Harris. I mean, so I think when you get these starters back, I mean, McKinstry had started some, you're just that much better because the backups who did play have played and, quite frankly, played pretty well.
Well, and it gives you the benefit of you have more options, right? Depending right. on the defensive play calling, depending on the scheme that they put out there. And you can stay fresher through the four quarters. I mean, one has to wonder about the fall off in the fourth quarter because, you know, the last weekend wasn't the first time, right?
Right, and I just felt like it wasn't conservative. I mean, they had 28 yards in the fourth quarter, 17 rush yards, 11 pass yards. It just felt like on first down they had been having success, they did not have success, and they were automatically in second and 10, second and 9. And then if it was an incomplete pass or a short pass, you were third and long and you're punting. And it just seemed to, you know, it wasn't the same. I mean, you look at Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He had 109 yards. That happened on five plays in the second quarter. He didn't have any yards in the second half. Alvin Kamara had 5 yards rushing in the second half. So it was just really defense in that second half and some missed opportunities. And when we say defense, I mean special teams defense as well, because they were huge. And I do think they impacted Younghoe Koo on all of his misses, even the one that, you know, the one that clanked off the right upright. He started that thing out way left and kind of cut it back to the right because he had guys' hands up on, you know, to his right. So he was trying to kind of make sure it didn't get blocked. And then he, from a golfing standpoint, he just overcorrected. He just sliced it. I mean, he just sliced it into the right upright. But it was a miss by him, but I think, and it wasn't blocked, but that defensive side of the special teams had big paws up in the way. John Ridgeway got one early, and man, it just it made the, you know, 1 of 4 makes the big difference in a 3-point game.
Obviously, it's important for us to get the run game going again. Cleveland has the 13th ranked defense in the NFL, so you know they've proven themselves somewhat in the first half of the season.
Yeah, they're a pretty good defense, and they really are. They don't have great stats because they don't have their secondary hasn't, and they've also been behind a lot, and they started out bad. They started out 1-6, right? And so, but their defensive front, you know, with Hurst and Dalvin Tomlinson and Miles Garrett, and the secondary is actually, I mean, it's Grant Delpit, former LSU guy, Greg Newsom, but they just haven't been able to come up with any of the big plays. And I think that maybe where, you know, they've given up 123 yards rushing a game. That's 14th in the NFL, someone obviously in the average range. But you're right. I mean, you're going to have to, just as we've said every week, have some success. And that's going to be Taysom, and that's going to be Alvin. I don't think we're going to see Jamal again and Jordan Mims. And, you know, we kind of see them use Taysom in some respects, how we thought we would see them use Taysom and how they have in the past. But it is what it is right now, man. You're leaning on your people. Taysom, Alvin, Derek, and, you know, all your tight ends. You're gonna have to have a more significant second half.
Absolutely, and as always, turn down the volume. Listen to Mike Haas and Deuce. They're none better. We look forward to listening to you, Mike, on Sunday. Bring home a win for us, baby.
You bet. We appreciate it. Talk to y'all soon.
All righty. That's Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. We'll be right back, folks, with Jane Cooper, board member of the French Quarter Management District. We'll talk all things French Quarter when we come back.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We thought it'd be a good idea to check in with the French Quarter Management District as to what goes on there, what they're about, what they do, the challenges that they face. Busy time of the year right there out in front of us on the horizon, not to mention some big, big conventions. We just finished with the Taylor Swift concert, but we've got all that goes on through Christmas, New Year's, and then the Super Bowl, and, of course, Mardi Gras as well. So we're joined by Jane Cooper, board member of the French Quarter Management District. Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, Newell.
Thank you, Jane. Why don't we start out, if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, tell us what is the FQMD, otherwise French Quarter Management District?
Sure. Yes, we kind of operate under the radar, and a lot of people do not know who FQMD is or what we are about. So we were launched, formed right after Katrina as actually a state political subdivision. So we can thank the state of Louisiana for creating this entity that I'm the board chairman for. And the uniqueness of FQMD is that we are actually a mixture of both French Quarter residents and French Quarter business people. And so the Board of Commissioners has 13 members, and we are all appointed by different agencies that operate or that work with residents in the French Quarter. So it's a very diverse group. And of course, we may have different perspectives on some issues, but we all agree on public safety, security, and sanitation being very, very important for our French Quarter.
Go figure that, Jane. Different perspectives, right?
Right. Who wouldn't support public safety, you know?
But so you guys, though, y'all get involved, you know, from an operational standpoint as it relates to a whole host of activities that you support in the quarter. Tell us about those.
We do indeed. Well, I guess our most famous program that we support and in some way fund is the Supplemental Police Patrol, which if you spend time in the French Quarter, of course, NOPD has really made some strides. You know, we have the most significant reduction in crime our city in the entire United States, and the focus on the French Quarter has been always an important priority. But part of that success is due to the Supplemental Police Patrol, which is actually funded by a sales tax called the Quarter for a Quarter, which is actually up for renewal next year. And that sales tax is voted on by the residents. So it generates about $3 million a year in funding, and the City of New Orleans and FQMD manage that collaboratively. But the most significant program that's funded out of that money is the Supplemental Police Patrol. They drive around in little black cars, very distinctive. And we're funding those shifts at 94% right now, or NOPD is funding those shifts at 94%. So they are out 24/7, protecting the French Quarter.
And I, you know, over the years, I've kind of seen their presence grow. I don't know why that is. I know they've been there for a long time. But it seems to be a lot more proactive. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. As I said, NOPD manages the officers and the functions that they provide every day. But FQMD has funded additional cars, has funded additional gators, has funded additional resources so that those officers can do their job and do it well. We all know that NOPD is still understaffed. So we work with them on that program. And then in addition, thanks to our friends at New Orleans and Company, we have another public safety program, which focuses on kind of St. Anne to Canal Street, Rampart to Decatur, which is officers from the Sheriff's Department. And that's like an additional security force. They collaborate with NOPD as well. So we're really looking, FQMD is looking for areas where there's trouble, where we can add resources. And then I'll get in, you know, I don't know how much time we have, but we're doing some other things too that are pretty, pretty impactful for the French Court.
Well, tell us about it.
Okay. Streetlights have been missing, have been broken. So we have worked with District C and Geno Inc. And we'll be talking more about this in the coming weeks, but we're really dedicating resources, and FQMD is assisting in that process to get those streetlights repaired and replaced.
Because you guys actually did an inventory. Y'all did an inventory, right? Didn't y'all go around and actually identify how many were out, how many ain't there no more, and all of that other stuff?
We did. I was one of those volunteers. But sadly, you know, you could do the inventory today, and a beer truck smashes into a pole on Burgundy in St. Louis. And so it's a constant focus. But we know how important streetlights are to security. We've also worked on crime cameras. We've worked on license plate readers. So really trying to look at force multipliers for NOPD and things that, you know, in our city, we would expect to have lights.
I'm a big advocate of maintaining the lighting. It helps so much, and I know you guys are as well. And you also are, y'all encourage people that if you see something, say something and call 911 or flag down one of those supplemental patrol officers.
Exactly. And we also have an app that is paid for through that tax, French Quarter Task Force app that people can download. But that's more for residents just because, you know, visitors are going to have less use for it on an ongoing basis. But most of the residents in the French Quarter use that to report things that need attention. I mean, we all know that the homeless, unhoused population is an issue. And that's another area that FQMD dedicates financial and people resources to.
You mentioned sanitation earlier. I just got an alert that, you know, they went out on a garbage contract and somebody's not happy because it looks like they're proposing to rebid it. I don't know why garbage collection becomes such a contentious issue in this city. I guess I should look at it and try and figure it out, but it always seems to be one. But that's really important to the French Quarter because it's such a tight, compact, concentrated area.
It is. And in the area of sanitation, one of the things that FQMD also did is to purchase 300 additional trash receptacles, those iron, you know, square trash receptacles that are on the streets of the French Quarter. We bought 300 of those and had the city install them, and they will maintain them. In terms of the sanitation contract, it's our understanding that a new bidder was selected, and we have recently, our staff and some of our commissioners have looked at the current contract through Empire and then at the new contract or the new specifications for Henry Consulting, and we feel pretty good about what's on paper. So I have not heard anything about a rebid situation for the French Quarter.
I just got a news alert about 4 minutes ago. Reading an article about
then you're very up to speed.
It's just one of those things. You know, it's interesting. The mayor most recently traveled to Barcelona, and I traveled there probably about 5 years ago. And it's one of the cleanest cities I've ever been to. And it's a lot like New Orleans. There's an old town area so much like the French Quarter. It's absolutely scary. And it's interesting how they manage garbage there. So much different than us. And it is so clean, and you would never know. You know, and I'm sure you saw it. I got to the point, Jane, I was looking for a piece of garbage, as crazy as that sounds, on vacation. But, maybe I need to be institutionalized or something, but I mean, it was like you just notice these things right away, right?
Right. And it's, I mean, Bourbon Street, of course, is unique in the entire world,
I think.
I don't know if there's enough money or enough people to keep that clean all the time. But we all know when we have events here, big events, you know, the French Quarter looks cleaner than usual. So I know that as we get closer to the things you mentioned earlier in your show, you know, the holidays, Sugar Bowl, Super Bowl, Mardi Gras, all of that, we really have got to have the French Quarter sparkly.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you about sidewalks. I mean, I completely adore the French Quarter. I could go walking through the French Quarter every day, and it would make me really, really happy. But there are a lot of areas of the quarter. It's hard to walk on the sidewalk. I mean, some of the areas have fallen into significant disrepair. I think there's a plan in place to try and remedy that. What are you hearing?
I am hearing that there's a plan in place. That sidewalks is the one infrastructure area that we just don't have the resources or, quite frankly, the money to put that on our list. I mean, there's only so many things you can do and do well. We have a very small staff. So I do believe, though, with GNO Inc.'s oversight and the Super Bowl master plan being executed, that those are on the list. Now, I haven't seen the list of sidewalks to be repaired. I do because my husband and I live in the French Quarter and are on the streets a lot, walking or running or just going places. I mean, there is some work being done, but, man, it's a big, big project.
Yeah. And it's supposedly, the most pedestrian area of the city, right?
I mean, I don't know if you've driven around the city lately, but being on foot seems to be a better process than being in your car.
Got to have a little pain for progress, right? Is a way of putting it. And actually, right on the outskirts of the quarter, you guys have a bunch of improvements on North Rampart. Tell us about that.
Yes, of course, North Rampart and Canal Street there, that corner there's significant work being done on that corner, not by us, but by the city. But Rampart Street in general tends to be an area where cars drive above the speed limit consistently, and people, visitors, tourists, residents, people that work in the French Quarter are trying to cross that street either to go to Rampart or to go to Armstrong Park or where they park their car. And it is dangerous as a pedestrian. So FQMD allocated money to some significant improvements there on Rampart Street, about $200,000. Our organization spent about $200,000 to do striping, to add pedestrian flashing crossing beacons, to make the bike lane more visible, to put up those buffer posts so that cars have to stay in the lane or run over them. So that work was done in the summertime, and it really has made a difference for the safety of people on foot.
And we know, so there's a lot of parking that goes on there, right? And I know that there's been an auto theft issue, not unlike other places. It really is a challenge. And you guys have been encouraging, talking about remove, lock, and take as an auto theft prevention program.
We have, and that program goes back about a year. It was one of the first programs that we really organized for the entire French Quarter. And it's not too complicated. I mean, if you leave your purse, your wallet, your gun, something on the front seat of your car, seat, not the driver's seat, either seat, really, and it's visible to somebody, they're much more likely to break in and
well, if you leave that on your front seat, you're a gambler if you're leaving that on your front seat.
Right. So, take it off your front seat or your back seat, put it in your trunk, and lock your car. And there are signs throughout the French Quarter and in a number of the parking lots to remind people to do that. That's one of those programs where you really can't manage or you can't measure the impact other than reduced auto theft. And we've been assured by NOPD that, in fact, that crime statistic has improved significantly. So we're going to continue that program. We're going to continue to fund that program. We're going to look at other places to put those signs just as a reminder to drivers that it's common sense. And it takes, two more minutes to gather up your things, put them in the trunk, and lock it.
Right. It's the same thing with trash. I mean, you know, just hold it for like 10 steps and you're going to come across either one of your new receptacles or a receptacle that's been there forever. And, you know, I make it my business every day to pick up a piece of trash if I'm in a parking lot, street, or otherwise. If we all did that in a quarter, it'd be a hell of a lot cleaner, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, and it is hard to grasp why people just walk down the street and throw things on the sidewalk or in the street. You know, hard to understand. But the, where we can make a difference is by making sure there are enough receptacles and making sure that that sanitation contract works the way it's designed, so that, you know, are the resources that we're paying for as taxpayers and as French Quarter supporters are being well run.
Absolutely. Jane Cooper, chairman of the board of the French Quarter Management District, thank you so much for your time, your insight. Keep up the great work. We truly appreciate it.
Thanks to you and all your listeners. We appreciate you as well. Take care.
Thank you, ma'am. That's Jane Cooper. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Just a little summary. Let's not forget about the World War II Museum tomorrow, Saturday, November 16th, from 9 to 6. Everything's free. They're going to have a block party out there for military appreciation and family block party for everyone. You get to go into the museum, see all of the different exhibits. I think there's seven. You get to see the films as well. Great opportunity. They're going to have all kinds of festivities out there, music, food, drink, they, a whole lot of things. A free reception. You get to visit with the curators of some of the new exhibits there as well. A very interesting offering by the World War II Museum. And we want to thank Colonel Pete Crane, who is the Vice President of Education and Access at the World War II Museum, for joining us today. That was very, very interesting. Don't forget to check in. Mike Haas and Deuce, let me see, they are going to be on the North Shore. The Rouse is on the North Shore today from 4 to 6, if my memory serves me correct. You want to get out there and visit with them. They're the best. Yep, that's it. 4 to 6 at Rouse's Market on the East Causeway Approach in Mandeville. They'll be out there. Don't miss your chance to hang out with Deuce and the Voice of the Saints. Come out, say hello. Make some groceries for another big sports weekend right there. And then, obviously, we have the Tiger coverage, the Florida game. All of that's going to start at 10 o'clock with Mike Dettillier and Herb Tyler and a bunch of different things that they're going to be doing at the Acme as well in Baton Rouge. And also just wanted to kind of remind folks that if you wanted to listen to Tommy, myself, Scoot, the sports guys, you can always go to our Odyssey app and you can listen to what we have on our shows after the fact. You know, if the time that we're on doesn't really work for you, you can just download the Odyssey app, listen to Tommy, me, Scoot, or the sports guys. It's that easy. You can listen to the whole show or just segments of the show as we kind of dissect it up and have our explanation of what it was that we talked about during that segment. It's all up to you. You can manage it any way you see fit. It's a great opportunity, great app, and you can bounce in, bounce out when it works for you. For you, and a lot of people do it that way, and we appreciate that as well. Got a busy weekend this weekend throughout the city. Check it out. Don't forget, you can go to New Orleans and Company's website. They have all the an exhaustive list of things to do this weekend. We had Walt Leger on earlier this week talking about that lengthy list, so check that out as well. And you heard Tommy talking for a good period of time with the foodie, and a lot of opportunities out there as well. Not a lot of new restaurants, a lot of offerings. The weather's going to be incredible this weekend. Outdoor dining will be a blast. In fact, I'm going to try and drag my wife somewhere this evening to go dine outside somewhere. Not sure where just yet, but we're going to make it our business to get out there. We will be right back. We're going to check in with Scoot on his free-for-all Friday. I'm No Filter Friday. He's free-for-all Friday. What a match. We'll be right back. The expert in free-fall, Scoot, joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, you know, I want to talk about the fight between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. I mean, I think if Mike Tyson gets close to this guy, he's going to knock him out. But that's tonight at 7 o'clock, streaming on Netflix. We'll talk about that, the Saints. And Gen Z is having sex less often than younger generations. Who can figure
that? What's up with that? Scoot's up next. Stay tuned, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.